Bucks fans, game day is here. This is the Ira Kaufman podcast. I'm Steve Isbitz of JoeBucksFan.com. Lee DeCamper and Ira Kaufman are here, and it's all presented by Bill Curry Ford, Tampa's very first family of Ford. That's where it starts. You start shopping at BillCurryFord.com. BillCurryFord.com. That's the family name, C-U-R-R-I-E. 61 years, a mile north of Raymond James Stadium. And you can go there with complete confidence because GM Sean Sullivan has your back. You can email him, call him. He's going to give you the Ira Kaufman discount, but he's going to give you fresh, honest guidance. Even if that's body work at their historic top shelf body shop or service, 50 master technicians at Bill Curry Ford, whatever it is, got to get out of a lease in 3 months and you want some guidance, reach out to Sean Sullivan, the GM. Bill Curry Ford, he's going to take care of you personally, and it's just invaluable. Bill Curry Ford. Florida's Elite Restoration, thank you to them for their support of the podcast. That is your first phone call if you're a business owner or a homeowner and you have a disaster at your property. Maybe that's a flood. Maybe that's a wind damage. Maybe that's just mold that you realize, wow, I have this huge mold problem here. I had no idea. I ripped up this carpet. I'm redoing a wall, and what a disaster. You call Florida's Elite Restoration immediately. They are licensed mold remediation specialists, not just a mold guy. And business owners, if you're a plumbing contractor or a property manager or an air conditioning contractor, reach out to owner Josh Martin at Florida's Elite Restoration. He knows how to work with your customers to take good, honest care of them. And you need somebody to go to when you encounter these issues on a property. And no better than Florida's Elite Restoration. Any homeowner gets a free assessment at their property of an issue, but a business owner too, just call Josh Martin. He'll lay out what their service is and how they help homeowners honestly every single day. And honest is the word you need in this business. Josh is a 14-year veteran of the insurance industry. Now he's on the other side helping people. Florida's Elite Restoration. And with kickoff today, remember Big Storm Beer, Big Storm Brewery, Big Storm Beer, Florida's best craft beer. So many choices. The Bromosa, their top seller, the Tangerine IPA, but there's the Wavemaker Amber Ale, Tropic Pressure Golden Ale, Bay Beer, Ira's favorite, Big Storm Brewery, home of great food, 4 tap rooms, Orlando at the Amway Center, Cape Coral, Clearwater, the flagship location, and in Odessa off State Road 54. Ira watches every Bucks road game with fans at Big Storm in Clearwater. All right, the boys, not me, are with you today. And the sort of the off-scheduledness of the podcast this week, it's all on me. I take full responsibility, and we'll be back to a better situation next week. And we have a couple of surprises before the end of the year as well for the podcast. It's Ira, it's Lee. Got some deep conversation. And I'll jump in on the picks later in the podcast. Enjoy. Go Bucks.
All right, Ira. Buffalo Bills come to town. I think they're a wounded animal. I think this is a dangerous game for the Bucks. If this was any other week, I think the Bucks would take them. I'm not saying the Bucks won't win, but this game spooks me. Michael Lombardi put it best. He said this is a Custer's last stand game for the Bills.
Lee, I think one thing we can say with certainty. On the desperation meter, the Bills have the edge. They are desperate. They can be knocked out of the playoffs, and the Bucks are not going to be knocked out of the playoffs, barring a worse collapse than 2008, and we don't even want to think about that. The Bucks are in, and the Bills are hanging on by their teeth. Of course, New England doesn't look like they're going anywhere. Buffalo does one thing very well, Lee, that's a little troubling. Their pass defense. They've given up like, 8, 10 touchdown passes all season. Now, they lost their best cornerback, Tre'Darius White. The guy's a very good player. They missed him the other night in New England, even though they only threw 3 balls. You know, he could help out a little bit on run defense, and their run defense stunk against New England. Knowing what New England was going to do and still couldn't stop New England on the ground. So they're flailing. Lee, they're topsy-turvy. They're reeling. It's not a bad time to get Buffalo in that respect, but they're desperate. Now, Lee, I'll say this on the Bucks side of the ledger. Bucks have been great at home. And we've been waiting a long time to say that.
Yeah.
And now we are. They're 5-0. They're averaging about 35 points. And no, it's not all because Mike Edwards returned two picks for touchdowns. Brady has fashioned some tremendous numbers. Very few picks that he has thrown at home. The Buck offense is playing very, very well. They convert third downs. And Leah, I've said it all year long, and I don't know how many times we can say it, because we've watched this Buck offense over the years, and we said, gee, right, here comes another field goal, a 23-yard field goal. How many of these short field goals, they're going to get you beat? Lee, they score touchdowns. Mm-hmm. You know, you got to look twice to see Suckup out there. He ain't out there very often. And it's not because Arians doesn't have any faith in Suckup. Mm-hmm. I'm with you. I'll trust him in a clutch situation. I don't think he's having a great year, but I'm with you.
I agree.
But they score a touchdown. And that's the Brady and, you know, the Gronk connection or whatever, and Fournette scoring touchdowns. Lee, it's going to be a tough game, but I think there's a lot of factors in the Bucs' favor right now.
One of them is star Luke Lally is out for the game. Buffalo's very good defensive lineman. I keep hearing a lot of national guys that are saying this is a shootout because the Bucs pass so well, Buffalo passes so well. You know, the Bucs aren't yet healthy fully in the secondary, though all the corners look like they're going to be back. I'm not so sure about that. Deep down inside, I think Arians likes to run the ball in his heart of hearts. But he knows passing is how you win in the NFL. Given the fact that Buffalo twice in the last three games has given up over 200 yards rushing, and the Bucs can run the ball. The Bucs, as Michael Hot Robinson always says, NFL Network, they got maulers up front. I would not be surprised to see the Bucs pound or try to pound the Bills inside, especially with Luke Lally being out.
I'm going to say this knowing that it's the one thing that I'm almost positive about, and it's the one thing that can screw up, and then the Buck fans are killing me next week, but I'll say it anyway. The one aspect of this game that I'm basically 99% sure is Buffalo ain't going to run the ball on the Bucs. Two reasons. They don't run the ball well. Yeah. And nobody runs on the Bucs. I mean, what more do you need? Now watch them go out and get 150 on the Bucs. I mean, they got Zach Moss, you know, Singletary. They don't have Dalvin Cook. I mean, let's put it like that. You know, and Josh Allen's got a big arm, and the weather's going to be good, we think, because it's been spectacular for a couple of weeks. I'm not ready to go with the shootout. I'm not ready to go there because Buffalo's pass defense is good, and I don't think Brady's averaging like four touchdown passes a game at home this year. I mean, some phenomenal, percentage. And he may not get that. So you got a point. I could see him running for about 130, 140. And I can see Fournette having a nice day. But the way the Bucs play at home, Lee, I think Buffalo could be in for a long day.
Short week for Buffalo. They had a very physical game against the Patriots. You know, Patriots pounded them. That lingers. And you get beat up like that play after play after play, that lingers. And that's a short week. It's a travel week. And another, and this is getting a lot of play in the national press, it's going to be hot and humid. You're getting pounded time after time in the middle, and you're not used to the humidity, and it's in the fourth quarter, and you know, you've been beat on all game long. That's going to catch up with you.
And Lee, let's be honest here, as we always are on this podcast. Should the Bucs go to 10-3?
Wow.
With the four games that they'll have remaining, Lee? There's no reason in the world they shouldn't finish 14-3 if they beat Buffalo on. Doesn't mean they will, but they should.
Yeah, they could get tripped up by the Panthers, could get tripped up by the Falcons. Or no, they're dumb, the Falcons. You know, there could be a division loss
there. Play the Jets. Play the Jets.
Saints have a hex on them in the regular season. But yeah, the Jets, give me a break.
And Kamara's back. They get to 14-3. If they do, I think they got a damn good chance to get the number one seed.
You know, I'm not worried about the Packers, and this is why. Year after year after year after year, they find a way to choke in the playoffs. Ever since Aaron Rodgers got his first and only Super Bowl, they always find a way to choke in the playoffs. Are they dangerous? Of course.
Lee, I wrote a column the other day about a guy that you and I, we've picked on him, I don't think unfairly at times. We've knocked his focus. We've knocked his concentration. We still remember that second New Orleans game last year when Donovan Smith really didn't show up to play. Trey Hendrickson was toying with him. Now, Hendrickson's a pretty good player, Lee.
Mm-hmm.
He signed with the Bengals as a free agent, and he's had a good year. He's got like 8 or 9 sacks. But Smith wasn't ready for Hendrickson that day, and Brady paid the price. Lee, we got to say, you've heard me talk about the O-line as a group, and it's a hell of a line, Lee, if you're throwing the most passes in football and giving up the least sacks. That's tremendous.
Yeah.
But I'm looking at Smith, Lee. I watch him, and we know Wirfs is great. That's a given. He's fantastic. Donovan Smith, Lee, we don't talk much about him anymore, and isn't that the sweetest thing of all, Lee, for an offensive lineman? How do you explain how well he's playing?
Well, obviously, Anthony Bechtold Jr. column, it flows from Christian Wirfs. Who am I to argue with Anthony Becht? But I think it flows from someone else. His name's Tom Brady. When the Bucs brought Brady
in, enough.
That got everybody's attention.
And you everybody, don't want to be the guy that gets him hurt.
Not just that, you want to be the best. You know, because he will demand that. Games are over. Crap is real now. And I think that, as much as anything, got people's attention. And not just Donovan Smith or, you know, pick a name. It got people's attention. It was, you know, recess is over, boys. Crap is real. We're here to work.
And any credit to the Bucco line coaches?
Of course. Very much so. You know, we said
and that's been a constant you've been talking about. The work of these assistant coaches as opposed to other staffs that we've covered.
They're developing talent. I don't think you need to look any farther than Rojo. Rojo was a complete and total waste. And in his second year, all of a sudden, these coaches got on him. They worked on his mental capabilities, for lack of a better word. And he turned around. It just, all these young players all of a sudden developed. The secondary developed. All these guys developed. They weren't being developed previously. I love George Warhop as a person, but the difference is night and day. Now, I'm not seeing the offensive line. I never said this. And people were so frustrated because I wouldn't jump on this narrative that the Bucs offensive line was horrible. Number one, I could see it wasn't horrible. It wasn't my problem. Doug Martin had his head down and had no vision whatsoever. And as Isbitz always points out, the Bucs, under Cutter, had one of the best offenses in the league. You cannot have one of the best offenses in the league if you had five windmills in front of you. It's impossible. You just can't do it. But Joe Gilbert took these guys from being good to elite. Took them 2 years, but they're elite now.
And Goodwin is part of that, too.
Oh, yes. Harold Goodwin. This coaching staff knew how to develop players, specifically young talent. They knew how to develop. You know, as good as Wirfs is, you have to give some credit to the coaches to get him game ready. And he was game ready from season opener last year. And also, I got to give credit to JPP and Shaq, because they were teaching him during practice as well. You know, Wirfs had a crash course. He passed that crash course. And you don't do that without good coaches.
You know, Lee, here's something I was thinking about. And it's right in front of you, but sometimes you got to pull back and get in perspective. And I wrote about this today, Lee. It's like, Brady, you could make a case, Lee, and a pretty damn good one, that Brady is throwing to three Hall of Fame targets, and that's not even considering how good Chris Godwin is. But we know about Gronkowski. He's the first ballot, and there's not going to be any discussion. Antonio Brown made the 2010 All-Decade team, which is not bad.
No.
He's averaging 85 yards a game for his career. It's number four all-time. All-time. And then you got Evans, who I think's got another 5 or 6 years to play. You know how old Mike Evans is, Lee?
28.
He's 28.
Mm-hmm.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah.
With what he's accomplished.
Yeah,
he's 28 years old. So he's got like 9,000 yards. Lee, suppose he finishes with 15,000 yards, which if he plays 6 years, he could.
Mm-hmm.
He's in his prime right now.
Sure.
And, you know, some fans like to knock Evans. You know, he's not great after the catch. He gets called for offensive interference once in a while. He doesn't fight for the ball sometimes.
Oh, that's nonsense.
That's nonsense. Lee, you can't nitpick Mike Evans. He's been, and he's a great pro, by the way. He's not a diva.
No, nor is Godwin.
So, Lee, he's throwing to Brown when Brown comes back, if he comes back, but we think he will. Gronkowski, Evans, and then you got Godwin. I mean, what an embarrassment of riches. Come on.
And we're used to talking
about Michael Clayton over here, Lee.
Well, that and Sammy Slaughter.
Sammy Strouder. Oh, my.
And, of course, there was the
Aurelius Ben, you know, guys like that.
Well, and, of course, Freddie Martino, who could forget him. Dante Dye, that's the Stampeder. Dye.
Lee, this is the league's state-of-the-art passing attack.
Absolutely.
That's what it is.
Michael Clayton said it on local radio when Antonio Brown is on the field with the Bucs, it's twice, maybe three times better. The offense. I mean, it's lethal.
He does change the offense, Lee.
And I, you know, I've written that before about all these Hall of Famers Brady throws to. What do you think of this? You know, everybody's saying Brady should be the MVP. It's part of that. People are looking back last year and saying, you know what? If this vote took place after the Super Bowl, Brady would have been MVP. And a little bit of, I don't know if guilt is the right word, but it's like a makeup.
I could see a part of it, Lee. Part of it might be his age.
Like this might be his last chance to get, yeah. Oh, I see what you mean. 44 doing this at 44.
Yeah, 44 doing this. Yeah. But you heard me on the doggy the other day, Lee. I threw up Jonathan Taylor's name. Lee, you can make a case for him.
Sure.
I mean, especially if Indianapolis they got to make the playoffs. Mm-hmm. You can't have an MVP for a team that doesn't make the playoffs. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. I know Andre Dawson won 1 year in baseball when the Cubs stunk. But he hit like 50 homers, and he was by far the best player.
And, of course, Cardinal fans screamed it should have been Ozzie Smith.
But, Lee, 13 out of the last 14 MVPs have been quarterbacks. And while a lot of those years they deserved it, maybe some years they didn't. But they're the quarterback, and they touch the ball every play. I'm not saying Brady's a terrible candidate, Lee. I don't know that he's better this year than he was last year. I mean, maybe. But it wouldn't kill me to see Brady win it, but I don't think it's a slam dunk. I just don't.
Had Derrick Henry stayed healthy, I think that was his.
I'm with you on that. And that would have been interesting whether they vote for a running back.
Now here's something, and I told this, I won't say who I told it to, but you know him. He's a hardcore Bucs fan. He thought this was a ridiculous suggestion, even though he likes the Bucs player. Connor Orr of SI.com wrote that there should be serious consideration giving the Defensive Player of the Year award to Antoine Winfield. He claims Winfield steers passes away from the bad corners.
Oh, boy. You really got me off kilter with that.
Yeah, that's coming out of left field, isn't it?
Wow. A safety as the Defensive Player of the Year, which by itself would be unusual. You know,
and that's Ronnie Lott kind of stuff.
Yeah, that is Ronnie Lott kind of stuff. That I was thinking the same thing. Rod Woodson kind of stuff. You know, Winfield's he's a very good player, Lee. I can't put him on that kind of pedestal.
I couldn't put him over
Myles Garrett.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, Myles Garrett might have 22.
You got TJ Watt.
TJ Watt's very good. He's also hurt a lot.
He is hurt a lot.
But what's his face?
Myles Garrett's having a big season.
He's having an awesome season, yeah. And we all know sacks are the most important play for a defense.
Wow, he came up with Antoine Winfield. Yeah. He makes big plays, Lee.
Yeah.
He does. Turned in one of the plays of the year.
Indianapolis.
With that interception. Made the biggest play of last year's playoffs.
Absolutely.
You and I agree.
Yeah, he punched the ball out.
Stripping that ball, yeah. The best part of all, Winfield, it's only his second season.
Yeah.
He's going to get better.
Yeah.
The way they coach up, and then you got Coach Rapone. He's a friend of the podcast and Joe Bucks fan, and he's doing a great job with Whitehead. They're going to miss Mike Edwards the next couple of weeks, Lee.
Yeah, I think so.
Maybe as soon as Sunday against Buffalo.
I think so. What do you think about JPP, Ira? I mean, I love JPP. I love his heart. He's the ultimate warrior. But, you know, he hasn't touched a quarterback since the Bears game. Is it almost a liability to have him out there on pass rushes?
You know, Lee,
that torn rotator cuff has robbed him of his pass rushing skills.
Lee, I think what really makes it a agonizing decision whether to give Tryon more JPP snacks. Snaps, Lee, I'm not sure it would get better if he rested. And that's a big thing.
No?
I'm not sure it would get better. Like if you sat him down for 2 or 3 weeks and tried to get him for January. Rotator cuff, it is what it is, Lee. It is what it is.
Well, I do know when he first went to Denver to have it checked out, they told him the best thing he can do is rest. And like you're saying, if they get past the Bills, which I certainly hope they do, I would seriously consider putting him down until January.
I would too. And I'm starting to think a little bit about Devin White in those terms, Lee. Unless he comes up with a big game against Buffalo, you know. I don't like Devin White going half speed, Lee. I don't like it.
It's certainly a detriment to the defense.
To me, he could get hurt even worse.
Mm-hmm. I'm convinced that Joe Tryon doesn't play more because the Bucs don't trust him against the run as much as JPP. As hurt as JPP is, he is in position to make plays on the run.
You're absolutely right about that, because at this point, and I'm not saying with a healthy JPP I was going to take Tryon as a pass rusher, but the way JPP is now, Tryon's a better pass rusher than JPP is.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a fact. Making the right point about Tryon Cherinka is they don't trust him in the team concept. You got to fill that gap. He's trying to cheat a little, get an edge, and go somewhere where he's not supposed. And you're supposed to trust all your teammates. But he's going to be a good player, Lee. That's not a bad draft pick. He's going to be good.
You already mentioned Devin White, and I think that kind of answers the question I'm going to have right now. What do you make of all those missed tackles by Levante David and Devin White? You know, Devin White, you say, okay, he's injured. All right, okay, that's fair. But Levante David, what's going on, man?
Lee, at this point of the season, I really think it's kind of inexcusable. Derek Brooks always says, Lee, to me, the first month of the season, nobody can tackle. Because of the strict rules and protocols about padded practices and training camp. And I understand that, and so do you. Well, this ain't the first month of the season, Lee.
No.
You know, it's not. So the Brooks rule doesn't hold, you know. And now it's something else. Are they a little banged up? Could Levante be a little banged up?
And we don't know about it yet.
Lee, for whatever reason you can come up with, the tackling was lousy. It just was.
That's the first time I think I've ever been negative about Levante David.
Ah, that's a great point, Lee.
That's how stunning that it was, that he was giving up missed tackles. I don't think I've ever seen that before. It makes you wonder if there's something wrong with him that the Bucs have not reported. You know, it's not like that's never happened before. Hi, Tom Brady.
And, you know, Atlanta's running game's nothing to write home about, Lee. They don't run the ball well.
Pedestrian.
I'll tell you what, though, Lee. You got to give credit. That guy, Patterson, he's had a hell of a year.
He's a very good year, yeah.
I'm going to try to sneak him on my, maybe there's a utility spot or a flex spot, and I think he's perfect for that. He's a flex guy.
Yeah, that Connor Orr said the same thing, that he would put him on his all-pro team as some sort of like a flex or slash.
He's been that good. He's been that good.
Ronald Jones missed the game, most of the game, last Sunday. He was sick. Then he pops up on, he wasn't listed on the injury report, but he didn't practice earlier this week for the same thing. He was sick. What do you know about that, or do you know anything about that?
Well, I think he's sick of Leonard Fournette getting all the snaps, Lee. You know, I'm wondering, Lee, now this is a fair question. Has Bruce Arians had to have the same kind of talk with Ronald Jones that he had with Leonard Fournette last year?
Interesting.
That's a fair question.
Yeah.
I don't know that. And, of course, Fournette brought some baggage from Jacksonville.
Yes.
Where he had a bad reputation, which may or may not have been deserved. Probably not deserved as a locker room, cancer or whatever you want to call it. But he had heard all the rumors. Mm-hmm. He had heard the speculation and he was sick about it. It's common knowledge now. Arian said, you want me to cut you, Leonard? I'll cut you. Mm-hmm. But you better get your head out of your ass. Mm-hmm. You wonder whether Jones is going through that. I'll say this. It's not like Jones has been totally ineffective when he gets the ball. He's just not getting the ball much. And that's all about Fournette. Now, your big word, Lee, it's one of your great words, production.
Yeah.
And Fournette's producing. So if you're Ronald Jones, you got to accept it and maybe hit the free agent market next year.
Could the Bucs be talked out with Ronald Jones? What I mean by that is when Arians first came here, he was down in the dumps. I didn't want to use the word ego so much because that's not really accurate. And they've really had to work on him. And even in training camp this year, earlier this season, Arians had references they had to work on his mentality, confidence. That's the key word, his confidence.
Absolutely.
And that's been going on for 3 years. You think they're just talked out?
I don't think Jones is doing anything wrong, Lee. And I don't think the Bucs have lost a lot of faith in Ronald Jones, Lee. I don't think that's the case. I just think they're rolling with the hot man. Okay. And I don't blame them, and neither do you.
No.
I'm not calling for Ronald Jones to get the ball more right now. This offense is rolling. We'll see what happens Sunday. I'm with you. I think the Bucs could... they might run the ball 25 or 30 times on Sunday. They just might.
If they have success, they ought to stick with that, yeah. Now, I don't know if you remember this. I said this prior to the season when you kept asking me, who would you take, Jones or Fournette? And I kept answering, those guys will tell Arians who gets the ball.
You did. More. You did say that.
Now, with Fournette, has he morphed into the player that you hoped your boy Gino Vonnie Bernard is, that you kept talking about short passes to the running back, short passes to the running back, and that's why you wanted Bernard and you thought Bernard was going to be such a key factor with the Bucs. Has Leonard Fournette morphed into that player?
Well, Bernard's never been as good a player as Fournette is right now. He's never been that type of player. He's never been a great runner. But I understand your question. He's kind of usurped Bernard's role and left him on the sidelines. Yes. Now he's like returning punts or something, you know, just to get on the field. And I don't blame Arians, and I don't blame Leftwich. Fournette, I would say, Lee, 4 or 5 weeks, he's not dropping any balls. He had a bad stretch at one point
where he
was tipping balls up. I don't think he's necessarily a natural, but Lee, he just made a one-handed touchdown catch to lead off the Atlanta game.
Left-handed,
he's doing it all. And I got a lot of respect for Fournette right now.
How much better does that make the offense? What I mean by that is, when Bernard came in, you had a pretty good idea what he was going to do. Before Fournette started catching the ball, you pretty much knew what he was going to do. Now, you really don't know if he's going to run the ball or go out in the flat and catch a ball.
You know, that's a great point, because when Bernard comes in, you think they're going to throw the ball.
Like a designated receiver.
Yeah, yeah. And now with Fournette staying as a third down back, and there's not a lot of three down backs, Lee.
No, there's not.
Fournette's one of them. You're right. You don't know what the Bucs are going to do. And Lee, with the way Fournette's playing, and then you add Antonio Brown to the mix, hopefully, in 2 or 3 weeks, who's going to stop this offense? That's a question NFL coaches are asking themselves.
They will only stop themselves.
There's your answer. They will only
turnovers.
Lee, it's time to pick. I'll go first. I said I like a lot of things that are favoring the Bucs right now. I don't really believe in Buffalo, Lee. I think they're a little soft. They don't run the ball well, and they're not stopped. That's the epitome of soft football. You don't stop the run very well, and you don't run very well. Mm-hmm. So I'm going Bucs, Lee. I don't think it's going to be a shootout. So I think it's going to be 27-20, Buccaneers.
That word soft is very damning for a football team.
It is.
Especially when it has playoff aspirations.
I thought a lot of times the old Buck teams, they were soft.
Yeah.
They were soft.
All right, guys, I'm jumping in here with my prediction here through the magic of editing. And maybe Josh Allen uses his legs, breaks contain, does a little bit of what Cam Newton used to do to the Bucs, and maybe he has a big day with his legs, but I don't think it'll be enough. And I think the Bucs just have too much offense. So I think it's pretty straightforward. Bucs with a steady yet commanding victory, 30-21 Bucs. Solid day for Josh Allen, but just not enough. Bills don't have enough to hang with the big boys.
I can see this game going either way. What scares me is, I think, as Michael Lombardi said, this is a Custer's last chance game for them, that they need this win. The Bucs don't. But Buffalo, pretty much, it's like do or die. Like, if they lose this game, they may not be in the playoffs. Because their schedule is relatively soft. Not, you know, they got to play New England again. Outside of that, Bucs win on a field goal. 24-21 Bucs.
Who makes the big play, Lee? Is it Antoine Winfield, our defensive player of the year, according to Connor Orr? Who's the star of the game?
I'll go with the old veteran, Levante David. He redeems himself from a poor game last week.
Nice.
And he gets a fumble recovery.
And I'm going to go with Mike Evans, who says, wait a minute, if Godwin can catch 15 balls, I can get 11. So there you go. And we'll see you guys next week.
Our thanks to Bill Curry Ford, Tampa's first family of Ford. Catch them at BillCurryFord.com. End of the year deals, end of the year savings. But don't forget the year-round nationwide lifetime warranty on new and used vehicles. GM Sean Sullivan is ready for you today to assist you in any possible way he can personally. Big Storm Beer, the official beer of the Ira Kaufman podcast. We love Big Storm. Find them at Publix, BigStormBrewery.com, and Florida's Elite Restoration. Mark it down. They are your first phone call anytime you have a disaster in your home or your business. Fire, flood, mold. Florida's Elite Restoration.com. Don't make a mistake and call somebody else. Call them first. Florida's Elite Restoration.